Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you still feel like Billy, after the last few seasons, do you still feel like he's the correct fit for coach here?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, we have a very close relationship. We work very closely together. I thought he's done an unbelievable job to transform this group.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of AK talking about Billy after the end of the season. And lo and behold, the Knicks come a-calling, and the Bulls say, no, you may not speak to him. And then we hear these reports he might be coming back. Oh, wait. No, they're talking to him about a contract extension. And he's going into the last year of his deal. Billy's been here 5 years, I believe. And obviously
he came, team has changed. Shortly after AK did.
Yeah. But their team has changed.
A lot different.
May I use the term dramatically? Made up word?
Yeah, you can,
both
you
dramatic
can use that
and
word.
Drastic?
Yeah, that's as good as any description. You know. That's kinder than some.
Yeah, but their team has changed quite a bit.
Team has changed quite a bit. And I said something during the 6 o'clock hour that I've thought about, and I wondered, as we discussed it earlier, you could make the argument, and I guess I did, that Billy Donovan is more valuable to the Bulls organization than any player on the roster right now.
And I would include any person in the
organization.
I mean, I'm going to say
I wouldn't dispute that.
Him over AK with no insult needed.
But I don't think they're in a position to make that choice, but if they had to, Billy Donovan would win. Yes. And to me, it's almost an indictment on the roster to be able to say such a thing, because we look at teams that win and they have stars to build around. And
yes,
you see the NBA Finals, and certainly Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is an example of that in OKC. Who's the coach? Oh, yeah, that guy. I can't pronounce his name. Mark Dagnall. Yeah, him. With the Pacers, they're there because of Siakam, and they're there because of Tyrese Halliburton, but they're really there, I think, because
Rick Carlisle is an excellent NBA coach.
He's better at his job than anybody is at theirs on the roster.
Yes.
And so I think the same is true in Chicago. When you have Billy Donovan, you have a coach that, despite the record, and I know that sounds like a cop-out, but you look at the record, and it's hard to really believe that, but he is more valuable than anybody else who does their job at the United Center.
I think that, and I'm not arguing with that, David. I kind of tend to agree with you. I think what I find fascinating about the Bulls is that they put this team together and they thought they were going to be a really good team, and they were good for 30-something games, and then Lonzo Ball goes down. So, you know, you still technically have Vooch on that team, but I don't think anybody expects that he will be there when the season starts. And I don't know, you know, you got Vooch and you got Lonzo still there. I don't know that either of them should be there at the start of the season, to be brutally honest.
I think that they could do without either, and I think they would get something in return, and you wonder what it would be. But you at this stage of wherever they are in shrinking the timeline, I guess that is the way we're
yes.
gonna, that's the phrase we're going to put on the T-shirt. If they're shrinking the timeline, you do that more effectively by getting rid of both guys to see what you get in terms of assets in return. The Mavericks reportedly showed some interest in Lonzo Ball. We have linked Vooch to the Lakers and the Warriors, and there have been other teams. And frankly, based on the news over the weekend in the NBA, Desmond Bain going in the blockbuster to the Magic, they may be in on trade possibilities we have no idea about.
Right.
Because that one came out of nowhere, and you wonder how often these NBA executives pose these kind of scenarios that we have no idea about. The reporting in the NBA is great, but there also are things that happen that surprise us.
I mean, listen, there's surprising us, and then there's the Luka trade. So I mean, I'm just saying that was like a time stopping. Like that was as shocking a trade as I've seen in sports.
What would shock you if the Bulls made a deal? What would be the shocking, most shocking thing they could do? Trade Domantas? I guess that would be the most shocking thing to me.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing that.
I don't think they're doing that either.
Right.
But I didn't think that the Magic would give up four first-round draft picks and two players for Desmond Bane.
But what reasonably could they do?
It's something to ponder because I think I would like to be surprised.
Oh,
I think a lot of people would like to be surprised and stunned by a move that the Bulls would make that would qualify as a blockbuster.
But I guess any change would be surprising, quite frankly.
Yes, it would.
I mean, I don't consider Vooch or Lonzo Ball, I don't consider that major change.
Vooch might be.
Well,
he's been the centerpiece of a lot of Bulls basketball over the last 5 years.
No question, but he's kind of done now.
And with an expiring contract, yes. You expect him to be traded. That's fair enough. I think that's your point.
That's what I'm saying.
The expectation is that he's going to be moved.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't – I mean, if they did something like radical, and I don't even know what it would be, to be honest with you.
Okay, let me ask you this.
That maybe Matas being traded.
How about Kobe White?
The most radical. Kobe White – wouldn't stun me. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Kobe White may be more valuable to the Bulls than he is elsewhere. In other words, I don't know that they would get back.
That
what
makes
they
you wonder.
Need.
That's interesting. Think he's more valuable because of the way they use him or because of what they don't have and the role he has to play?
I think it's that.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's kind of grown into that. But I don't know that the rest of the league looks at him that way.
So Desmond Bane and Kobe White, they've been in the league about the same amount of time. Kobe White came a year sooner before in 2019.
Did Bane come in?
In 2020.
That wasn't the Patrick Williams draft, was it?
It might have been it was 2020-21 season. And so you look at him over that time, compared to Kobe White, 17.8 points per game for Bane, 15.2 for Kobe, 4.6 rebounds to 3.6 rebounds, 3.8 assists per game for both of them.
Bane's a pretty decent defensive player. He plays.
He's probably a better defensive player, and that's where the difference is, because three-point shooting, they're very similar. I think Bane is a better overall. His 37% for Kobe, 41% for Bane, so he has a slight edge there. And I do think the defensive – but my point is he that much better to where he's going to command four first-round draft picks and two players in return? If that is what he's bringing in return – what do you think that they're getting if they're shopping Kobe White? What kind of offers are they getting?
Well, I mean, they ought to find out.
They should find out.
Yeah.
I guess that's my point.
Yeah, that's probably true.
If we're talking about trades and we're talking about changing the complexion of the Bulls, and I like Kobe White. I think he's very good for the city, the organization, and all the things. But I'd also think that if you are in the midst of trying to change your roster, the most effective way to do that is to trade somebody who's going to get the most in return. And it looks like that could be a guy like Kobe White based on the going rate for players of that caliber.
I think, though, that Kobe is probably more respected here than league-wide.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Overvaluing?
Well, the Bulls always
overvalue
their own players.
Yeah.
They do. And I think in this case, they may be correct, though. I think that he has developed, he's taken two steps in the last 2 years. And I don't know if there's another one out there for him, but I think he may end up as an all-star. But I can't. I can't say that with certainty.
I think he could end up an all-star. I don't think that's too unreasonable to say.
No, I don't think it is, no.
And so would you rather that happen here, or is he more value of you, value to you happening elsewhere and getting the trade return?
I don't think you'd get the same kind of trade return for him. If you could get that trade return, then you should trade him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you can. I think it's an unusual situation.
It definitely is. Would be a lot to get, but I would never have expected the Magic to give up that much for that player.
I think they have this year's draft pick in that deal, right? And that's like the 15th pick, something like that. I mean, I'm just saying that's like a decent draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think a 15th overall pick in this draft could make the Bulls team.
And you have a good memory because that draft of 2020 was the Patrick Williams draft. He went fourth overall. Thank you for that reference. And you know where Bane went in that draft, Desmond Bane? 30th.
Boy, that was
30th in the same
draft. That draft isn't living very well.
No, it's not.
I'm just saying.
That decision is not aging well. It's that decision and that draft, is part of the reason why we're saying that Billy Donovan is as valuable at his job as anybody in the organization, anybody on that roster.
Halliburton. I mean, I'd have to go look at that draft and determine how many players taken after Patrick Williams are better than Patrick Williams. But I imagine
Taken after Patrick Williams? Oh,
yeah.
Goodness sakes. The list is Obi Toppin is on there at 8 to the Knicks.
See, I don't think he's great, but he's probably better than Patrick Williams. But that's my point. I'm saying I think there might be a lot of guys.
Halliburton went 12th, where the Bulls draft this year. And the draft is right around the corner, a week from Thursday, right? Or Wednesday or Thursday.
Really that quick?
Yeah, it's next week.
Okay, I got to.
It's next week. You got to do what?
I got to do much more research.
Mentally prepare?
I need to really do a deep dive. I haven't spent enough time staring at it.
Cole Anthony, who was part of that trade for the Bane trade, was taken 15th that year.
Is that right? Wow. When is the baseball draft? Isn't that
July.
Coming up? Oh, it's in July.
It's during the All-Star week.
All right.
So they moved it. They moved it back.
I'm way behind on that.
You are. You haven't done your mock drafts yet?
I haven't done a single mock draft. I've yet to high-five myself in celebration.
There could be some good local prospects drafted in the baseball draft. We'll have to do some research
on that. You talk to a lot of them, right? Do you guys do it on the Chicago Lead?
We did a couple guys on the Chicago Lead.
I've seen a couple.
It's been fun. Thanks for watching. Yeah. I don't know what we have planned this week. I do know we're going to be, I think, at the Rate tonight because the Cardinals are in town for the White Sox.
The Cardinals.
Wilson Contreras.
Did you see the two brothers homered against each other? It's like the first time since forever that two brothers have hit a home run in the same game. I love that kind of stuff.
It's very cool.
Yeah, it's super cool.
I also saw where Wilson Contreras was calling out the Brewers before that in a way that he is vintage Wilson Contreras.
That's him.
He's in the middle of everything. Called out his teammates before the game, called out his opponent during it. Yeah, he plays with a lot of fire and passion. Chicago loved him. Missed him too.
You don't miss him now, though.
Not now. Not now. I don't think so. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah. You miss Amaya now.
You miss Miguel Amaya. Yeah, you miss Miguel Amaya a lot.
We have any?
That's the dreaded
oblique.
They
had hoped before the All-Star break.
That's still a while. Wow.
That's what they had hoped, yes. Haven't heard a word about it.
That's like the rest of the month.
I think because everybody's so like, when Shota coming back? When Shota coming? Like, people have not asked, and mm-hmm. I think that's a good question on Tuesday, like for an update on Miguel.
Who are we asking Tuesday?
I'm just saying, like
Tuesday's tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, not for us. The next time the media gets a chance to talk to Craig Counsell,
there is no availability today.
Yeah.
Did you hear Craig in the post game? He said something like, someone was like, "What are you gonna?" He's like, "Have a good Father's Day and then take tomorrow off." Like he just needs a mental break.
I think so. Yeah,
that's understandable.
Yes.
Well, he had a good weekend.
Yeah,
he pushed some of the right buttons.
He had a good weekend.
Dustin is so reluctant to give Craig Counsell any credit.
That's
I just don't
true.
Get it.
He talked him up on Friday. You did. You were good.
During the pregame and postgame?
He was fine.
He was contractually obligated to do that.
But I listened closely, Dustin. I listened to the entire game on the radio, and it was very interesting to me how you kind of carried yourself so much differently than you do. Like, there was none of the crazy arguing Dustin. It was all... like very professional, very
he's a radio professional.
I was trying to follow saying. Zach Sabin's example.
Yeah,
look at you.
What would you have said if you could have said anything? Like if you do, if it was unfiltered.
No, I don't think. I think you do that. I think part of his thing is an act. I think he's got a lot of shtick going on here.
I don't know.
And he feels like he needs to argue with us.
I would have been
stuff.
Upset about the approach guys had in the bottom of the 10th.
Oh, that's what you brought
like,
it up. That
it
bothered
seemed like
me.
They were just ready. That spritzing rain we've talked about. They were
right.
just done with it. Like
they
annoyed.
Were ready to get out of there.
Like, yeah, it's like,
I agree.
Whoa, like this. Like and again, could. Maybe
was,
bunt in that situation.
Yeah, it was
maybe bunt a guy over. Maybe bunt the man for man over. Just maybe.
That was disappointing.
Bad approach.
The way that that
game just fizzled out.
It did. It was a fizzle.
You thought 10th
you
inning.
You felt okay. You know the magic. You talked about the magic at Wrigley this year. You
on
thought,
a Friday
okay.
afternoon at Wrigley, right? mm-hmm. you know,
and people stuck around. I mean,
oh, I know.
I was sitting it's in a packed. Booth.
Did you win the attendance game?
No, I was second, though. I was second.
That doesn't matter.
Paul Zaring won.
You didn't.
I mean, I lost it by, like, since you asked, like, I lost it by, like, a couple hundred. It was that, like, Paul Zaring and I were that close in our picks. So 39, we picked 39,000 and change each. It was, like, 39,522 or something was the.
So it's not attendance. It's not a set number?
It's paid attendance.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, like, when I covered the Bulls. And they were playing at the United Center, and then at the
capacity was always the same number.
It was always the same number.
Yeah, but it's never like that.
And like it was like 26,000, whatever it was. And literally, you'd have people, and you'd be like, "Well, it's the same number. It's literally the same number."
That used to be the case of some like famous venues.
There'd be guys in like really nice suits, like tearing their sleeves to celebrate that they had the number right, which is like. How dumb are you?
You weren't That's impressed.
Not, well, I mean, congratulations, but, genius.
Okay. So if it was a sellout, it was the same number every night.
Every
yeah,
single night.
Yeah, that was
night.
Easy to remember. So it would become kind of famous for that number. Like, remember college football for years, traditionally, Notre Dame Stadium was 59075. That was a sellout for years. That was what, long
did
time
you,
ago.
Did you ever try to use those in some sort of a lotto pick?
Nope, never did. Okay. No, I never did.
That's what you should do.
But I was fascinated by the attendance game on Friday to see what you would pick. I thought you might pick, like Pat picks. Pat Hughes always does the, like if it's 23-5-3-2, like he will do the palindrome version of the
attendance
game.
They mentioned that when we did it. My guess was 39,036. That was my guess.
Wow. Bad guess. I mean, you lost.
Lost.
But you did do a nice job. I'm just curious if you were ever tempted to like chime in with something like a critique of a decision.
Oh, no. But
or
you get in the innings. You get in the moment. You get in the moment when certain things happen, and you're like, mm-hmm. Like you do. And then when they do something good, the same way. So it is weird to like you don't want to make a noise that gets up, you know, ends
he,
up on.
He divorced
on the air.
Himself from his usual feeling. I honestly,
I heard. It. I know he did a good job. It was. It had to be. It had to require some discipline that you don't often exercise between 6 and 7.
Well, there's a difference. I mean, you guys have been there, and I haven't been there in forever. But it's the old. There's no cheering in the press box.
Oh yeah,
true. Right. So yeah, I mean
that's true.
Like when I got with a buddy of mine after the game, I jumped on the red line. I did end up on the red line twice after the game, and I met
really?
A buddy, had a beer, and
where'd you go?
We went to Paisano's.
Where's
Here's
that?
A quick Paisano. It's kind of middle of town-ish. Interesting story, though. So Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah, he was there.
He was there. He was in the booth before the game. So Ron being, you know, Ron, so great. He's like, hey, Dustin, meet Dustin. Right?
Really?
Oh, that's
yeah.
So
he was
so hilarious.
His Dustin Pedroia's wife is local from here, still has family here.
Yeah, I wondered
the
why
son,
he was there. Yeah.
The son's favorite player is Paul Skeens. It was the kid's birthday,
oh, that's
so they decided
great.
To come to town. Here's the fast forward a little bit. I'm telling my buddy, who's originally from Boston, He's lived out here for over 20 years, but originally from Boston, big Red Sox fan. I said, hey, I met Dustin Pedroia today. He's like, no way. And like, we're talking Red Sox stuff. 10 minutes later,
he comes
walking out of like a back room. I think they rented a back room at this pizza place, Paisano's, for his son's birthday and like family.
Oh, that's
and I'm like,
great.
So my buddy, like, I'm like, that's him. So he stood up and I think he heard us. We weren't that loud, but it's a tight place.
You're probably
walking
loud
through the bar. And my buddy just went like, you know, like kind of pointed at him, gave him like a thumbs up, and he like pointed right back and gave him the
did
thumbs
he really?
Up. Yeah. So it was a cool
he had
quick
a cool
moment.
Exchange with Dustin Pedroia.
It was a cool quick moment.
That's
But like awesome. 6 hours earlier, I got introduced to him by Ron. Meet Dustin. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's really good. That's a good story. That's a good day.
Yeah, that's a good day. He had a great day. So like you went to Paisano's together. And then you came back here and got your car.
And then I got in the car about
it's a long day.
I got in the car about 7:30.
That's a long day.
Yeah, it's a long day, but that you probably made it home faster than you would have if
absolutely.
You just come
I avoided
here.
Yeah. I don't think I really ever had a step on the brake going on the Ike on the way out.
I was going to drive down there and pick you up and take you down here. Cuz I dropped him off.
I know you dropped him off. That was very kind of you.
It was so much fun.
It was a good talk.
Yeah, it was fun. I went home and immediately turned it on and listened to him. It was a good day, Dustin.
Cardinals are in really town good. Tomorrow, not tonight. Sorry. I jumped ahead.
The Cardinals are not today.
Yeah, no, Cardinals, White Sox.
The Sox and the Cubs are off.
Yeah, they're off. Yeah. So it's tomorrow at the rate I was getting ahead of myself.
Oh, I didn't know that you said it was today.
Yeah, I said tonight because I was thinking I was going out there. I got to figure out, check my schedule.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't listening.
David's out there looking to do it.
Hey, where's everybody? Lead.
Well, you did say that.
I'll guess the attendance tonight. 0000000.
All right. There'll be someone. 312-644-6767, Mullion Hall on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know, there's still days that I feel like a rookie. You know, we got a very veteran presence in this locker room, and so... You know, I'm constantly learning and adapting. But yeah, I wouldn't say there's a particular moment. You know, just I just try to go out there and do my job the best I can.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Cade Horton. Had a great outing against Paul Skeens. Held his own.
I think that's a big takeaway.
I agree.
So Friday wasn't just the big day at Wrigley Field because Dustin Rhodes was there. But Paul Skeens versus Cade Horton, I think, lived up to the billing. The Cubs lose that game, but I think come away feeling better about Cade Horton than they might have before the day started. It was a big hurdle for him to clear, I believe. He didn't seem overwhelmed by much. And I do think it's a worthwhile conversation to wonder, how are they going to manage his innings the rest of the year? Because we're not that far away from having to discuss what to do when Shota Imanaga comes back, and then revisiting that conversation, which is similar if and when they trade for the ace everybody thinks that Jed Hoyer has to go get. How does Cade Horton, with his innings limitation, fit into the Cubs equation moving forward? He's been very good. And I think, dare I say, better than expected for a rookie. And you don't want to get too carried away. He hasn't, you know, fully removed any of the questions or the doubts. But I think, Mully, he has been an asset. And I would hate to see him leave the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think he's been really good. And I think it's been, a kind of a godsend, if we're being honest about it, to have a guy like that. Because he's, you know, Ben Brown has had a little more up and down, but he's been very good too. And those are young pitchers that you expect to see for a long time to come. I don't know that maybe they end up being one guy as the year goes on, just because of the amount of innings, et cetera. And I'm not, I mean, I think you go with a guy for as long as you go, but I think you also have to be aware that he's a young guy and he is just at the beginning of his career, and you got to make sure that you're not overtaxing his arm. I mean, you know, that's everyone, and it's no longer a situation where you expect anybody to pitch 200 innings. But I don't know how much beyond 100 innings he has, David.
I agree with that.
That's all.
Premise. I think that you have to be careful. He's at 65 and a third between Iowa and the Cubs this year, right now, and you have more than half of the season left.
Right.
So you're going to have to be very, very cautious. I do. I feel like they might go over 100, and I think I'm going to be okay with it if they do.
I mean, honestly, I think they're probably aiming at 125, something like that, which is a lot. But I don't know how much farther they could go than that.
For the sake of the conversation, I wonder if we could remove two things, two possibilities from the Cade Horton discussion. Number one, he's not getting traded. Is he going back to Iowa?
I mean, if he's getting traded, it would have to be like a sensational breakthrough deal.
Well, I agree, and I'm not in favor of that at all.
That would include somebody that you're going to have.
It would be for an ace. It would be
for a few years.
Bruce Levine and I on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce has posed this possibility. He said, "Would you give up Cade Horton for the ace that we're talking about?" Chris Sale was one of the guys that Bruce talked about. We both have discussed, and I have been pretty emphatic in thinking that. You can't pose that. This is your top prospect in your organization. I think he's off limits in trade conversations. You'd agree with that?
No. I mean, here's the thing. If you could get someone that would win you a World Series, then you'd do it.
Mm.
I would not be shopping him. I wouldn't want to see him traded. But I mean, if they made some like monster sensational deal that got him someone that would help you win a World Series for, you know, a couple of, you know, couple runs at it, then I think you'd have to do it. But I don't like the idea of doing that.
I don't like it at all.
But, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, Chris Sale at this point in his career, I wouldn't think that would be the guy.
Okay.
But if it would be, if you got someone that you felt you could win a World Series with, you know what I mean? Would I trade him for Schuble in a heartbeat?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But that's a different hypothetical. I'm just saying.
That's an unrealistic
possibility. I know, but I'm just saying, like, of course you would.
I would make him off limits.
I know.
But
I'm aware.
That's just my
and I think
opinion.
I think he's, you know, he's closer to being an ace than anyone else you have.
That's a good way to put it.
On your staff, developing into an ace.
He's,
than
to me,
else.
And that's due respect to Shota.
Yeah,
because I think Shota has earned a lot of respect since he's arrived.
He's beyond 30.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And I mean, you know, Justin Steele, you know, he's been really good, but I think this is a better young
pitcher.
Said
a couple of years now where injuries have gotten in the way of his effectiveness.
312-644-6767. Kevin is in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. So two things. First of all, Dustin did do great the other day. So, Mully, I was thinking about you after this weekend because I was like, what can we call this one? Because I agreed 100% with the weak sweep. I don't know, unsatisfying 3 or 4. I don't know what to say because you're happy they won.
Yes.
But like as a fan, you know something's not right.
But it's harder than you imagined it to be, right?
I mean, way more difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, way too nerve-wracking. But I did talk to David and Bruce on Saturday, and I don't think Bruce fully got my point, even though he's great at his job. But this is all I said. As a Cubs fan, here's the two. Don't trade PCA, and don't trade that pitcher. Everyone else, you want to trade Moises Ballesteros, you want to trade anyone else in the minors, you just can't trade Cade Horton or PCA. Like, I don't think that's too much to ask as a Cubs fan. Jed, go do your job. You supposedly still have a great minor league. I don't care who it is. I don't even care if Matt Shaw has to go. And, yeah, Scooble, oh, my good Lord. But that is never going to happen.
No,
no. I'm not trading Cade Horton for Chris Sale. I'm not trading 7 years for one. I'm not doing that. And if people don't like it, too bad. I'm not doing that for that. Now, you give me some 26-year-old stud that you're trading for him, then it's fine, but then why would the other team do that?
That's a good point.
It's hard to get controllable pitching. So that's all I'm saying. No Cade Horton, no PCA. Anyone else you want, find us an ace. But, Mully, it's your job now to find out what do we call this 3 of 4 unsettling weekend.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks,
nice to
Kevin.
Hear from you again.
Yeah.
He made a good point on Bruce on Saturday, and he reiterated it there. I tend to agree with him.
I caught so much grief for calling that a weak sweep, and everybody had their fun. But that was kind of the beginning of these offensive struggles in a way. Can I say that?
Yeah, I guess you can say that, but I wouldn't revisit it.
And I'm just saying the fact that they've won 8 of 10 while scoring 2.9 runs, that's all fine, and you got to appreciate that. But he's right. These have been more chewed fingernail games than they need to
be. If it had been a team, or this was a team, that hadn't gone through a tough portion of their schedule and gotten through that successfully by scoring all the runs.
Right.
And if they hadn't, you know, proven that early in the season that they were capable of doing that, I might tend to agree with you. But I do think what this does to me more than anything is it shows how the Cubs have a variety of different methods that they use to beat opponents. And they can play small ball. They can play the defense and pitching game. They've got the bullpen to do it. They've got the defense to do it. Or on occasion, they can hit the ball out of the ballpark and score runs in droves. This team has a lot of versatility and can beat you in a variety of ways.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
So now you got to go find an ace.
Yeah. You do. Yeah. I mean, and again, like, We've been talking about that all year long, and you know Justin Steele going down. We've been talking about it, and they've done fine without it. But having watched them lose that series to Detroit, Detroit just a little bit better than a lot.
Detroit's going to be struggling for pitching depth now. They've got some injuries.
Oh, I know.
And that's
why they won't trade Scooble.
They're in a position where this is the first time since 1984 they've had the best record in baseball on June 15th.
Yeah.
They have those kind of aspirations.
They think
they can win a World Series this year.
Don't they look like a team?
I definitely agree with that. But my point being, if you're looking for an ace and they've got pitching injuries, you now have another team that's going to be competing with you for pitching depth and help and starting pitching. So the price may have gone up. The more teams, obviously, the bigger the market is, the more you're going to have to pay. And that's why I also think that the Devers trade makes you wonder, is Jed Hoyer going to be more aggressive or proactive? Because you don't have to wait until July 30th to make a deal.
But he's not waiting, is it? I mean, didn't he tell us a week ago?
Kind of announced his intentions loudly.
Yeah, and he kind of is hanging out his shingle, you know?
I kidded on Saturdays. He said everything except for going to Home Shopping Network.
No, he said we're looking at everything and we're talking to everyone. I mean, I believe him. I don't think he's making that up. I think that he's in on all of it.
He's in on all of it. I would love to know who's out there that's available that we haven't mentioned.
Yeah.
And
the scary thing is the idea that the Diamondbacks aren't in on it because they've got two guys that you would like
Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen would be great for the Cubs.
Both with expiring contracts.
Yes.
Both rent the players.
But I don't think the Diamondbacks are going to concede.
I know. I would also be careful about giving up too much for a rental player.
That's my point with the whole conversation about Cade Horton. And even, you know, to lesser degree, some of the prospects at Iowa, yeah, depending on what rental.
But, I mean, again, there are some prospects at Iowa that are blocked by players in Chicago. So if you're planning on bringing Kyle Tucker back, then maybe that's a position you should look at trading.
I'd be more willing to part with Owen Casey than Cade Horton 7 days a week.
Well, no question.
Yeah.
Pitching more valuable than an outfielder.
Definitely.
That's fair enough. All right. 312-644-6767. We're going to bring in Chuck Swirsky. We're going to talk to our guy about his weekend.
He had a big Saturday.
He had a really great Saturday, and we'll get a chance to talk to Chuck next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Put him in the Hall of Fame! Put him in the Hall!
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And welcome to an afternoon as we celebrate the election of the first pope to have been born in the United States. And he was born right here in the great city of Chicago. My name is Chuck Swirsky. I do the radio play-by-play for the Chicago Bulls on 670 The Score. And I am humbled and grateful not only to be your MC this afternoon, but also a volunteer at Holy Name Cathedral, serving as a lector and Eucharistic minister under the guidance and direction of Father Greg Sakowicz.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, that was glorious stuff with Chuck Swirsky from Bulls Radio. They're fine play-by-play man. Always a delight to talk to Chuck, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Chuck, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. And I'm actually in a taxi coming back from O'Hare. I called a Canadian basketball game yesterday in Ottawa.
Oh, my gosh.
Here we are.
That's unbelievable.
Well, Chuck, as you reflect on what happened Saturday, where does it rank on the kinds of things you've accomplished in your career? And what was the thing you'll remember the most?
Wow. Well, number one, good morning, David. Good to hear your voice along with Mully. So, I mean, the whole Saturday was amazing. I mean, just the fact that there was such a wonderful spiritual overtone of unity and hope and joy and love. And the message from Pope Leo was exceptional. It was spectacular. It really drove home the importance of all of us connecting, regardless of where we're at in life. And, you know, I was just very, very humbled that I was asked to MC the event. And really, honestly, and I mean this sincerely from my heart, you know, it really wasn't me on stage. It was the Holy Spirit. And so that really drove me. And I was, you know, after the event, you know, I just paused for a moment to reflect on how grateful I was.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that is spectacular stuff. And you read, I read, I didn't get to the service, and I did not get a chance to see much media of it, but I did read everything that was said. I loved what he had to say about sports and what they teach us and how you can learn. I mean, you know, as someone like yourself who has devoted a lot of their
especially
life to
the audience.
That,
given the audience,
I'm saying.
The target audience.
The place
audience.
Where it was and, you know, the connection. I just thought it was beautiful. I thought the guy did an incredible job.
You know, one thing about athletics, and both of you know this as well as anyone being in the position you are and the wisdom you have and what you do daily, and by the way, you do a great job daily on a consistent basis to sustain this, but, you know, we fail. And we have to pick ourselves back up. And you have to have perseverance. And you have to remain positive. And you have to work through those storms in life. And I think what the Pope was alluding to when he talked about athletics is that we aren't perfect. And, you know, the Pope obviously is a sports fan. And I'm sure he watched a replay, if not live, at the Vatican because it was 6 hours ahead. But he will watch this. And I think that the message, especially to young people, was extremely vital, especially in what's going on in our world today. But the way he was able to tie in athletics was really neat.
Chuck, in the minute we have left, I just wonder if you could describe what the crowd was like, because it was a baseball stadium and ballpark. And I just wondered, was it closer to raucous or reverent or somewhere in between?
No, I would say it was reverent. It was also enthusiastic. The platform, the stage, David, was in center field, facing home plate. You know, the weather broke at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was beautiful. And it was just a great afternoon. It was perfect. And yeah, I can't begin to say how much I admire everyone that was there, and the fans that came out, and the people that came out. But especially if I can just say this. The Archdiocese of Chicago got a huge support from the White Sox organization. And Jerry Reinsdorf turned the ballpark over to the Archdiocese. And I can't thank him enough, along with the White Sox organization, for doing that. They didn't need to do this, but they did. And it was a very special day, an impactful day for everyone.
Well, it was great of you to do what you did, Chuck, and it was a wonderful event. I think that anybody that is, and I mean, personally, I'm just getting a huge kick out of this. I'm born and raised on the South Side, went to a seminary high school. I just cannot believe that this has happened. I never thought I'd see an American Pope, but to have a guy who's from Chicago and as good a man as the Pope is just extraordinary, and we appreciate your hard work.
And you handled it well, Chuck.
Yeah.
Way to
go.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate, you know, one day, and this is just my opinion, I do believe that he will visit the United States. I do believe he will come to Chicago. Last Pope to do so was 1979. Yeah. And, you know, we had the Grant Park, 2 million people there. And I think we're going to see a replicate of that somewhere. Hopefully sooner than later. But, you know, it'd be great to see the Pope, of course, attend a White Sox game. I think that would cap off a great visit.
It'd be a miracle for them to get to a World Series. He'd come again.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful day.
That is outstanding. Chuck, out in Canada doing a game on his way home. Come on. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. John Heyman's next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.